May all beings be happy. May all beings be healthy. May all beings be free from harm. May all beings love life. May all beings awaken. Welcome to another Cuke Audio Podcast. I'm DC Pooba of Cuke Audio and Cuke Archives, preserving the legacy of Shunryu Suzuki and those whose paths crossed his, and anything else that comes to mind. I pray that you and yours are safe and comfortable and free from economic hardship and able to get out and do whatever it is you want within the limitations of the universal precept of do as little harm as possible. Today we're having a continuation of yesterday's podcast. It's another excerpt from the first podcast, which was published on April 1st of 2020. And last night's was a life in Bali, and this sort of is too. Last night's focused on Nyepi, the day in Bali and night when everything goes dark and you can't go out and can't have any lights on, that sort of thing. Pretty cool. Airport shot. And an accident I had going to the hospital and getting a bunch of stitches sewed in my ear. And today's is the follow-up from that. And like last night and the night before, this is a rerun because my studio was painted and everything's out of there, and Kadek, our housekeeper, and I'll put it all back together tomorrow as good as we can. It'll take it a while to get it in new shape because it did have a bed, but that's now in the new family room and Katrinka's studio that was just completed. But there's the settee that can go in there. It will give me more room, and we got to figure that out. And then I can be back there. But it's been neat doing these reruns. Okay. So that's more than enough explanation. We'll just go right into that. And then we'll go out with the same ending that the first podcast had, because this was the end of the first podcast. When I was home from the hospital, I'd been home hours, I researched the meaning of Mandara, as in the name of the hospital, Bali Mandara. Rumah Sakit, Bali Mandara. Rumah Sakit, Rumah House Sakit, sick. That's a hospital. I found a lot for the word. It's Sanskrit, and there are mountains, people, a lot of stuff. But for the toll road here, they gave it a new meaning. It's a very short toll road. It just helps people get to the airport and a few other places, going out over the bay, where it shouldn't be really, but I won't get into anything environmental right now. So they gave it a new meaning, saying it was a new word, a composite of four Indonesian words, maju meaning to advance, implying progress, aman, safe, Demai, peace, and this word I didn't know, kesejahteraan, meaning prosperity or welfare. It means this toll road is a sign of progress and public safety and peace and welfare. That's a word that a bureaucracy dreamed up, huh? But anyway, it's a nice word, Mandara. So getting back to the hospital, while I was on the gurney there, getting my ears pierced, so to speak, I wasn't spending most of that time in idle chatter with the attendant who was doing the sewing. Mainly he was concentrating on closing up the wound in my ear, and I was doing what I always do in such a situation. By such a situation, I mean a situation where I can't escape pain or anticipation of pain or fear of pain, resistance to pain, which all that's usually what's really disturbing about pain. Or in the dentist chair, while they're grinding and drilling in my mouth, even if it's not hurting, I am aware of the possibility. The same thing always happens. I remember the feeling of the needle going into the ear, injecting painkiller. And since it was pre-painkiller, I felt the qualities of thin, sharp, cold steel advancing into nerves. And then I still felt the stitching needle that went in and on and on and on. He just kept doing it. It went on forever. At times like that, in the dental chair, or when there's some procedure happening, or for some reason I have some sort of discomfort I can't get out of, it might be just being sick or in some way. At those times, I get overwhelmed with a feeling of great sympathy for the suffering of all beings. I understand them more deeply, what usually doesn't get through to me. And for a long time now, what I do and what I did in the hospital is repeat over and over, may all beings be happy. May all beings be healthy. May all beings be free from harm. May all beings love life. May all beings awaken. When I was a kid, something I'd hear now and then, someone would say, "Hey, what would you wish if you had any wish in the world?" And people would say different things. And I always said the same thing. And I don't ever remember deciding to say it. It was just the only thing that ever occurred to me. I'd say, "I wish that everybody everywhere was happy forever." I remember being a kid and I really cared about other people. I felt their suffering or something. I mean, most of the time I didn't. I wasn't thinking about that. I was just having fun. I had a pretty nice childhood. It was pretty happy. I was really lucky. But sometimes I would get the feeling about others. I could feel like they're suffering or something, or I could see that. Well, I remember one experience I had. I was with my mother. I think it was at Dallas at a show. Like, I was very young. And we were walking in the lobby, I think after it was over. And maybe the show, something in it had made me feel sort of emotional or something. But I saw a little girl about my age, walking with her mother. And I looked at her and I instantly realized she was going to die. And I just broke out sobbing. And my mother, my poor mother, she was, "Well, what?" You know, she tried to console me. She didn't know why. And I didn't say. And it didn't last long. It went away. And once, again, very young. I mean, I was so young then. I was walking with her, holding her hand. That's how young I was. And once, when she read me the story of Hannibal crossing the Alps with the elephants and all that, and it was a great story, you know, about Hannibal's life. And at the end, Hannibal committed suicide by drinking the poison from his ring. He always carried a ring with some poison in it. And I just checked that on Wikipedia. I've never checked it. And that is true. And after she read that, again, I just broke out crying. And that wasn't normal. I didn't cry a lot. So I just look back on my past and I remember these things. And because it seems to me I was more compassionate back then than I am now. But I'll get to that. There's another side to it. One thing is, that my parents instilled in my sister and me a caring about animals and realizing that animals had feelings. And I got into collecting butterflies. You know, maybe I was about 8, and my mother really didn't like that. And she got to me. Eventually, I'd put some butterfly in a jar, and then I'd put some ammonia in it and a little cotton swab, and I'd watch it die. And I realized, oh, my God, that's horrible. Why am I doing this? And I'd seen kids burn ants and stuff, and I didn't, you know, it takes a little time to realize, you know, that. So I realized the vertebrates had feelings. Very young. I was at my grandmother's house, pretty young, maybe 6, 7 years old. There were some kids playing in a vacant lot across the street. I went over to see them, and they had this baby bird. And I think I was 7 years old or something. I just went apeshit. I said, no, you can't do this. No, what? Stop, stop. And I started crying, and I said, the poor little bird, and just like that. I went back, and I sat on her porch, and one of the kids came up to me later with the bird in a box, and it wasn't dead. And I tried to take care of it and help it, but of course it died. I remember even as a teenager, I can see now, walking down the sidewalk in Fort Worth, and looking at people through the windows of a bus and seeing them and having this feeling, this sad feeling about them. Like in a sense, I was feeling their suffering, or in the long term, not like they were necessarily suffering right then, but like this veil of tears, you know, that life was difficult. Whatever they were thinking, things were going to change or whatever, their hopes and dreams would fall apart, whatever. I don't know. I mean, I don't get that feeling now. I look back at that. Very interesting. So various things happened in my life, and I ran into Buddhism, and I met the Four Noble Truths. And at that time, I was more, you know, I'd gotten into more spiritual seeking, and, you know, through LSD, and but also the influence of my father and mother, especially my father, was really into sort of cosmic religion, cosmic Christianity or whatever. Not even, didn't even say Christianity necessarily. So I was more enlightenment oriented than saving all beings oriented. So at the Zen Center, at the San Francisco Zen Center in 1966, when I went there, I ran into the Four Noble Truths. And the first one is, life is suffering. And it's more complex. It's dukkha. It means, I can mean incompleteness. It means I can't get no satisfaction, you know, ultimately. There's various definitions of dukkha. But anyway, I ran into that Four Noble Truths and into the Bodhisattva's vow. Also, I had an interesting experience one day. I was reading in the Abhidharma about the dharmas. Now, and these, this is not dharma. I know anybody who's a Buddhist will know this, but just making sure. There's a meaning of dharma, meaning the teaching. But there's another meaning, like constituent elements of all that is, are things that have intrinsic value or something. So I was reading, and early Buddhism, the Abhidharma, they broke everything down, you know, eye, ear, nose, mouth, seeing, hearing, smelling, and all sorts of things. You know, there's like a zillion dharmas, and one of them was compassion. And they list the dharmas under wholesome and unwholesome, and compassion was listed under wholesome. But guess what was on the unwholesome side? Pity. And I read that then, and I thought, you know, there's a reason that I got out of that sort of feeling I had when I was younger. It wasn't wholesome. It wasn't helpful. It was just sort of maudlin, or, you know, an occasional, oh, poor people feeling. I can understand it, but I really liked reading that, because sometimes you might get the feeling like, oh, I'm not being compassionate, when you actually might be realizing you're not having a helpful type of feeling regarding other people's suffering. At the Zen Center, I got into the four vows. Not heavy, and Zen Center wasn't into it heavy either. It was just part of a bigger package, like we chant it, but not daily. Like for lectures, we chant the four vows. And then once a month during the Ryaku Fasat ceremony, very popular ceremony, it's almost like a musical production. Well, it is, compared to everything else that we chanted at the Zen Center. I say the four vows in the morning here. Not always. It's not, again, it's still not my major practice, but I do quite a bit. But I say it in Japanese because I studied in Japanese, and also chanting in Japanese, there's less confusion about the meaning. And it's Shujo Muhen Seigan Do, Bono Mujin Seigan Dan, Homon Muryo Seigan Gaku, Butsudo Mujo Seigan Jo. As a translation, and there are many, I use, beings are numberless. I vow to awaken with them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to sever them. Dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. I vow to attain it. But in the morning here, the first thing I chant, and I usually do so silently, as soon as I start doing my walking meditation in the morning, and I got into this because of doing Vipassana retreats here, so being around Theravadins, but also the Hindus here do, a lot of the Hindus do it, and there's a, or they're all familiar with it, I know. There's a Chinese, Balinese Buddhist teacher I do retreats with. He doesn't, his retreats are non-sectarian. He has Muslims and Christians. He's very big all over Indonesia. This is the big thing for them. They start every meditation with it. They end every meditation with it. Now, they start every meeting and end every meeting with it. And that is the simple line, may all beings be happy. In Indonesian, it's semoga semua hidup berbahagia. And I don't do that in Indonesian in the morning. What I do is, may all beings be happy. May all beings be healthy. May all beings be free from harm. May all beings love life. May all beings awaken. Well, that wraps it up for Cute Audio Podcast for today. Thank you for joining us. Come back next Tuesday and we'll get together again. And if you want to help keep Cuke Audio going, just go to cuke.com, C-U-K-E.com, and there's a donate link up top, right over the word donate, and on the bottom of the page. I'll link to it from our Podbean page too, and there'll be a link to the Cuke Audio Podbean page at the homepage of cuke.com as well. I've got some work to do there, like some fascinating notes about this episode. We'd love you to become a subscriber via PayPal. How about $1 a month? There is a minimum, though. It's zero. And if that's all you can set aside for Cuke, then just mail an empty envelope or blow us a kiss. We're somewhere out there in the cyberspace. Take care of yourself and don't let that nasty virus get near you or your loved ones. So till next week, I'm David Chadwick. All alone here at home with my wife in America, hi Katrinka, and I'm the Pooh-Bah of Cuke Archives and Cuke Audio. wishing you a grand awakening.